Welcome to the Break the Mold Parking Podcast with myself, Ryan Jackson.
And me, Alistair Finlayson.
And in each episode, we'll be discussing the very latest in parking news and industry insights.
As well as cutting-edge business and thought leadership topics. Welcome back to another episode of Break the Mold. And today we're doing things a little bit different. We haven't actually got a guest with us, but we are talking about a very important topic. And that is the much anticipated release of Ryan Jackson's very first book titled The Success Rebellion. Ryan, I bet you're buzzing.
First of all, I'd like to say thank you for having me as a guest on the show, Alistair. I'm extremely happy. It's an amazing achievement. It's been something that's been in the pipeline for some time now. I didn't think I would ever get to the point where I completed it, but I did. But then once you complete it, you've got the other challenges that you're presenting with, the marketing aspect of it. Also getting it published, getting it proofwritten. And then once you think you've finished it, actually the editor gives it back to you and you realise that you still got so much more to write. So, but we're here now, we've got the final product out there, and I'm just extremely happy that I can just share the message that is contained within the book and hopefully make a difference to other people's lives.
So obviously it's called The Success Rebellion. Where did that name come from?
It really came about as a result of my own life experiences. I've always been a bit of a rebel, even though sometimes I've been a rebel without a cause, but I've always rebelled against conventional thought and tried to live very differently to what the majority of people do. And I found once I started to begin doing that, well, I started to achieve success. I started to achieve happiness. And so the Success Rebellion is really coined from just going against convention, rebelling against mediocrity in order to create the life that you desire, to create the life that you wish. And so sometimes you have to go against the grain in order to do that. That was really where the name came about.
And you talk about sort of going against the grain there. Sort of give us some examples. What is the biggest thing that you've done differently, which is going against the grain, which you feel was sort of giving you that advantage over others?
Now, this is something that once you make that move and it becomes your, I guess, your normality, you can sometimes undervalue it. But just having your own business. You've got to remember, we live in a world where 95% of businesses fail within the first year or so, I think, you know, statistically. So I guess, you know, me making the move, coming away from the conventional way of living, working a 9-to-5, moving into the corporate world, whereas I decided that I wanted to take stewardship of my own life and be responsible for my own success. And the way that I found to do that was by, you know, setting up on my own, setting up a company and using entrepreneurism as my vehicle to achieve the success that I wanted in life. And so I would say that is against the grain because society doesn't necessarily set you up for that. My life experiences, you know, I was just pushed or given guidance to get a job. Yeah, not the job that I'm passionate about, not the job that I wanted, just any job. And this is the reality for many, many people. So for me, firstly, it was about, don't get me wrong, I didn't ever necessarily want to get into parking. I kind of fell into it.
But who wanted to get into parking?
I believe you did, didn't you? As a young child. But even though I didn't necessarily want to or didn't set out to get into parking, I did set out, I set the intent to have my own business. Yeah, to become, as I said, the steward of my own life, being responsible for my income. Yeah, to become financially independent. I guess for me, that was probably one of the biggest things. Secondly, the way that we probably do business within Gemini is reflective of who I am as well. We try to go against the grain, you know, not try to follow what other people or traditionally has been done. So we try to set, not necessarily new trends, but new ways of thinking. The way in which I have chosen to live and the choices that I've made will go against convention, but yet they've brought me happiness. They've brought me success. They've brought me fulfillment across all areas of my life. And that's what we all want. So it's worked for me. And I strongly believe that the principles that I shared within the book will also work for others.
Mm. So in there, you sort of, in that sort of what you just said there, highlighted that, you know, you're starting up your own business, which is something which I'm sure there's hundreds of thousands of people that want to do it and don't know how. Now, obviously, in your book, it's quite clear that you sort of don't want to say come from nothing, but weren't privileged, didn't have that head start in life that some sort of business owners did. So, you know, do you want to share sort of what the secret sauce is into how to start that process for those that might be interested in doing something like that?
I did more or less come from nothing. You know, growing up, I grew up in East London, underprivileged area, lived on a council estate with just me and my mum. And so I didn't know my perspective of life or my ambitions and dreams was to get a council house. That was it. That was, you know, in my eyes, I made it. I was winning, if that was the case. You know, getting a free cooker, yeah, and social benefits. That was what I aspired to be because I became a product of my environment. I had that limited mindset, that limited perspective on what was possible of life. And I guess the real catalyst for change came about as a result of me reading, me discovering personal development and understanding that success, or, you know, what I achieved in life was down to me. And I refer to it in the book as self-governance. Yeah, I had to take control and ownership over my own life. Where I was in life was a result of my belief systems, the way that I thought, the actions that I took. And so as soon as I began to take responsibility for that, yeah, things began to change. I think the first step for anybody is understanding that where you are now is a result of everything you've ever done up until this point. So if you want things to change, you have to change. You have to change your patterns of behavior. You have to change the way that you think. You have to change the information that you take in. You have to change, and I say this, you have to choose possibly self-education as opposed to entertainment. Yeah, that's a great example. A lot of people, when they come from home from work, they subscribe to a ritual of sitting down watching TV for 4 or 5 hours. And I read a powerful quote today from Elon Musk. And he said, you know, how can people dedicate 8 hours of their life to work, but yet go home and don't work on their own goals? And so when you start to take ownership of your own life and understanding that where you are in life is a result of the things that you've done and your actions and your behaviors, you can then start to pivot and start to, well, you come to realization that you have to start to make change. You have to start doing things differently. So I think that's the first step, coming to the realization that you are where you are in life as a result of your actions.
Because obviously you've got 8 sort of key principles in the book, and you touched on self-governance, which is, I believe, chapter 1, maybe, because I know I've read it quite early on. Out of the 8...
That is the question.
No comment. Yeah,
because you're giving the impression that you've read all of it, but I'm not convinced.
No, I'm probably about sort of 6 chapters through, but I do genuinely believe that self-governance, of what I've read so far, I would say is the most important. And that's mainly because... I guess it's a form of discipline, really, isn't it? And if you've not got that self-governance to wake up and, you know, say, right, okay, this is my list of things to do today, you're not going to get anywhere. And the other 7 don't mean nothing, really. Or am I wrong?
No, 100%. Because the majority of people, they go through life just being a victim of life, if that makes sense. So Their circumstances, they don't ever make the realization that they have the ability to shape their experience, shape the world as they want it. They just are reactive to everything else that happens around them, and they believe that they have no control to make a difference. Whereas, you know, once you start to read the book, you start to uncover, actually, you have full control. Your life is a blank canvas to do as you choose. Unfortunately, you're never, ever given that sort of education in school. Yeah, we're conditioned or programmed to fit into the, you know, the model of life that we've been sold, that unfortunately just feeds the individuals at top. We have to start taking ownership for where we are and what we're doing. And I use the term victim. A lot of individuals have, unfortunately, whether they're conscious of it or not, adopted a victim mentality. And I see this a lot, and I'm going to use this example, that they look outside of themselves for change. They look towards, you know, government. They look towards their MP.
It's always someone else's fault.
Exactly that, to their boss, and have this, you know, why me attitude, instead of actually come to the realization that they're the only individual that's responsible for their life. And so they have to make that change. They have to become that change. They are the difference between success and failure. And so if they're unhappy in their life, if they're experiencing financial hardship, they have to start making the changes within their lives to take themselves without that. They can't look to others. I myself have been responsible for, you know, thinking that other people are going to break off a piece of the pie and whatever. It doesn't work like that. You have to help yourself.
So what you're saying is you've got to bake your own pie because no one's sharing. Sort of in the start of, especially the first part of the book, it really sort of almost emphasizes that you was playing the ultimate victim. What was that sort of turning point where you went from victim to I'm going to get up and do something?
It's twofold, really. So the first shift started to occur once I was thrown a bit of a lifeline. So my brother got me a job within a health club. So it was just in reception, but it was based in Hatton Garden. And because I was able to escape my environment, I was surrounded by different individuals with different levels of conversation, just witnessing different things. The individuals coming into the health club were like directors of companies, there were solicitors, you know, executives. And it just put me in a totally different environment. And energetically, you know, there's a big difference to East London, what I perceive as being very, or can be negative. Sometimes you can have what I refer to as collective thought within a particular geographical location. But being here, it was quite abundant. That was where the shift began to occur. Just showing a different perspective and just surrounding myself with different people. The second came about after the first book I read after finishing school, which was, this was before Netflix and Narcos and everything else, which was Killing Pablo. So it was from the most unlikeliest source, but it was so powerful. And Killing Pablo is the story of Pablo Escobar. We all know who he is and whatnot, so we're not really going to get into that. So it's written by Mark Bolden. And within the first chapter, I remember reading this on the way back from work. So there was a small bookshop that I used to pass on a daily basis. And whatever reason, when I was going to work in the morning, I used to see one or two people reading a book, and I gravitated towards it for whatever reason. I felt I was quite attracted to that. I thought, you know what, I'm going to start reading. I remember telling one of my friends, and this gives you an example of where me and my peer group were at that time. I remember speaking to him and said, you know, I think I'm going to start reading. I think I'm going to, you know, go into this bookshop. And he turned around to me and said, Ryan, I think you're smoking too much weed. I think you're going crazy. You're going too deep. What are you reading for? But this is it. I don't smoke weed now. I was younger. Like, I've been through that. But it's the thing where, like, this is it. This is where I was at mentally. You got to understand, the conversations that we have now are very different to the conversations I was having back then. I was very immature in the way that I saw the world. But anyway, so I picked up this book, went in the bookshop, and I didn't go in to buy this specific book. I just knew I wanted to buy a book. I went in there and nothing really appealed to me. And then I saw it on the bookshelf and I thought, shit, if I'm going to buy a book, it's going to be a cool book. Yeah, because obviously everyone's going to see what I'm reading on the train. Anyway, so I bought a book and coming home, and it just tells you about in the first chapter, it tells about the journey of Pablo's, how he started as a ordinary street bum, just stealing cars and whatever else. And then how he rose to become reported by Forbes as the fifth richest man in the world. And that one chapter made the penny drop for me. And even though he channeled his energies into a negative vocation, there was a level of genius within him in order to navigate his way to the top. All right, he did it via a negative means, and probably did where he committed some atrocities.
I stand by the fact that villains are always the most intelligent people. Because it takes a lot of brain power to be bad. It's easy to follow the rules, but to break them and be successful, I think that takes a lot of brain power. I think they're always the most intelligent people.
He had the level of intelligence that was surpassed a lot of his peers. And you got to understand, when he was younger, if there was a jet passing overhead, he used to look at the stars and say to his kids, or his friends, should I say, that, you know, one day I'm going to have a jet. But they used to just mock him and say, well, you know, whatever, Pablo, you're crazy. Yeah. Same sort of, you know, it was the same sort of conversation, whatever. They couldn't see what he could see. And anyway, so he rose to become fifth richest man of the world. And for me, the penny dropped. And I said, given his lack of opportunity, given his environment, given his lack of education, if he could aspire to be or to achieve that level of success in his chosen field, then shit. You know, I can make something of myself. And I knew that I had a level of intelligence, but I just didn't have the means to express that intelligence and express my natural abilities and skill set. But what I realized is from reading that is that I'd always seen success as something that sat outside of me. I always thought that if you were success, famous, rich, whatever it would be, it was either you had to be extremely lucky or you had to have inherited it. You have to have, you know, be born into it with the right connection and everything else. I didn't actually realize that anyone could achieve it through the application of either hard work or, you know, various success principles, whatever it may be. And that was it. The penny dropped. And that kind of kickstarted my personal development journey. After that, even though Pablo Escobar isn't necessarily personal development, yeah, there's still a lot that can be learned from who he was and the principles he applied. But then I started to read like Tony Robbins' Unlimited Power and various other personal development books. And that was it. It started to change my perspective. And I wasn't necessarily the finished model. There's still a few challenges that I had to go through personally and, you know, various other experiences. But just that experience and being in Hatton Garden and starting my personal development journey really made me see what was possible, what I could achieve in my life, as opposed to accepting what was going on around me, accepting the experiences of my environment. And it just pushed me to want more from life.
And you sort of really highlight on the importance in environment. And a lot of people might just think environment as in, you know, pollution and things, but it's not. It's so much more than that. It's sort of not just the four walls that you're in, but everything around you, friends, family.
It's your external stimuli, you know, your friends, as you say, your family, what you watch on TV, the music you listen to, even down to, you know, the lighting, the colour of your walls. All of these have an effect on you on a unconscious level, or conscious or unconscious level. And so we have to, you know, Jim Rohn says you have to stand guard at the door of your mind. You have to be careful as to what you let into your experience. Yeah, what sort of information you feed the mind. So for me, I don't listen to that. I'm at a point where I realize that music can either uplift me or it can lower my vibration. So I don't listen to rap music. I don't listen to R&B. I don't listen to any of this. The only music that I really listen to is either meditation music, yeah, or I might listen to, you know, like the handpan on YouTube. Or if I'm really in the mood, I might listen to house. The only reason, because it's more euphoric. It uplifts me as opposed to lower my vibration. So I'm very, very conscious on many, many levels on my environment and the effect that it has. And so at the moment, we're doing this, obviously, on Zoom, and I'm in Bali. And I know that Bali is an amazing environment. Obviously, you've got the weather, but then you've got the food, you've got the people, the conversations that I'm having, just the culture of the individual. So culture is a key factor as well. Yeah, and so all of these have an impact and influence on who we are, shape our belief systems and our programming. So you have to be able to have control over that and be able to regulate your environment in some way.
Obviously, you've read a lot of books in your time. What was the point that made you go, you know what, I want to be an author. I want to have my own sort of self-education book?
It wasn't a book that spurred me to do that, but it was more about the bigger picture, my other ambitions, my other goals in life, and I guess my future vision of what I want to achieve. And so, you know, I've spent, you know, 11 years in the parking industry, and even though I've loved what we've built and grown, there's still other ways I want to express myself and make a stamp on the world. And unfortunately, parking isn't necessarily a vehicle that's going to be able to provide positive change. And so I needed another vehicle to do that. And one of the things that I've had in the pipeline for some time is development of a wellness retreat. And so in order for me to be taken seriously in that field, I realized that I had to write a book. Yeah, as simple as that. In order for me to, you know, you are whoever Google says you are. So in order for me to have that credibility and to be taken seriously by obviously potential investors and everything else, I needed to show that I was the real deal, as it were, and share my philosophy. That was the original intent. But through the development of the book, it allowed me to really pinpoint what I believe to be the most 8 important factors in order to achieve happiness, to achieve success, whatever you perceive success to be. And the book, I know I'm slightly biased because I wrote it, but I personally feel it is so, so powerful and will start to raise the questions that are needed in order to, you know, to create happiness, to create fulfillment across all areas of your life. Because there's so many of us, especially now, yeah, we're living in such a turbulent time. We're in lockdown, we're out of lockdown, tier two, tier three, whatever else. Things are changing and it's a rocky road at the moment. So, but through this experience, a lot of positives are happening. Unfortunately, a lot of people were not aware or open to the positives that are happening in their lives. Okay, a lot of people are losing their jobs. Actually, it's probably one of the most amazing things that you could have happened to you. So sometimes you need to change your perspective and be able to reframe what it is that you're going through. And the reason why I said it may be one of the most positive things that might have happened to you is because probably 90% of the working population aren't happy in the role that they're in. Yeah, it's not something that they're passionate about. It's not their mission. It's not their life's purpose. And so that is why we're seeing such high degrees of anxiety, high degrees of unfulfillment within the individuals, you know, burnouts, midlife crisis, whatever you want to refer to it as, because we're not living in accordance to who we are. We just fall into roles and just sacrifice our happiness for a paycheck. And so, no, sometimes we have to experience crisis or go through certain things in order to have the kickstart, in order to live, to start doing the things that we truly enjoy, to start living life how we're supposed to. And I think this is one of the positive things that is coming out of this COVID-19 experience is that, all right, irrespective of where you sit or about what's happening and why it's happening and everything else, that there are some amazing positives that are coming out of it. But unless you're attuned or open to that, to the reframing of that experience, you know, you're always going to perceive it as a negative.
I guess that's a bit like what Damon John says with the power of broke. And you're at your most powerful when your back's against the wall and you've got nothing to lose. You know, you think you've lost everything. And that's the point where you sort of tap into this inner superpower. And, you know, your back's to the wall, you've got nothing to lose. You think, sod it. Let's just go for it. And yeah, so like you say, someone might think, you know, oh God, this is the end of my world. But the reality is one door closes, another door opens.
It's the beginning of your world. And you've got to understand that, you know, there isn't anything in life that we've gone through that we haven't got through. There's times when we think, oh, the world is falling in. But guess what? You're going to get through it. But we just sometimes get so caught up in the emotional aspects of it. We don't see it with clarity. We're creatures of habit. We like to control everything. But one thing we realized in, you know, or we're showing in 2020 is that, you know, we have no control. So sometimes you've got to surrender to the experience and just realize what it is that you're teaching, that is teaching you. This is what we're going through at the moment. So I think, you know, there's a lot of change happening, but through that change, some amazing, amazing opportunities will start to present themselves. And I think, you know, the Success Rebellion will help anybody and provide them with a blueprint on how they can start living a more impactful, purposeful life in accordance to who they truly are, in accordance to their passions, in accordance to their values, what they value as being important. And that's how you begin to start to cultivate happiness.
And whether you sort of intended it to be this way, and, you know, don't take offense if it's not, but I would say with sort of self-development books, there's almost like tiers of difficulty to sort of comprehend. And some of them that you've sort of given me to read, I've sort of got four pages in and I don't understand it. It's just going way over my head. Whereas what I liked about the Success Rebellion was that it's written in such a way where you haven't got to be the Oxford Dictionary to understand it. And then at the end, because I mean, when I read, I don't take information in. It's just sort of a form of mild dyslexia. That's why I'm more of an audiobook guy. I'm a very audio sort of learner. But the summaries at the end of each chapter, so you can read it, and then it just sort of reinforces it. And I actually found that it's probably one of the best gateway books into self-development, because I feel it's almost like a pathway and you need to start at the easy mode books before you get onto the hard mode books.
Yeah, no, I wrote it for you, Alistair, because I knew you'd...
Well, can we have a few more pictures in it next time then, please?
No, but it wasn't necessarily my intent. It's just that, look, success isn't difficult. You just need to know how to apply it. And sometimes people, especially in the personal development world, they have to justify their value. they overcomplicate things to sometimes to make it unattainable that only they can deliver their philosophy to you. But you know what? It's universal. It's not difficult. A lot of the teachings that I share, you know, I'm not saying that I'm the first to ever, you know, share these principles, but I deliver them in a way whereby they're easily received. It wasn't necessarily my intent. It was just the way that it was communicated. And a lot of the time when I was writing, it was just flowing. And I'll say that sometimes you can act as a channel and you're just channeling the information. Sometimes I look back at it and think, where the hell did this come from? I didn't write this. It just seemed alien to my normal mode of writing. But it's just sometimes when you're in that zone, you're just in a natural state of flow and that information is just being received from where I don't know. But it just so happened that it was delivered in an easy format for anybody to be able to take on board. And so I think when it comes to wellness, when it comes to personal development, self-help, whatever it may be, it isolates a lot of individuals who would benefit from it because of how in-depth it goes, the science and the technical aspects of it. It's unnecessary. Just keep it easy. Yeah, as I say, it doesn't have to be difficult, but sometimes we just overcomplicate it through ego.
And I guess what's sort of also quite interesting with it is obviously you mentioned Tony Robbins earlier, who's probably one of the most famous influential people in this space, but obviously you've read other books from people like Grant Cardone, and I know you're a big fan of Jordan Belfort as well. So you're going to have taken teachings from all of these different people and sort of put your own twist on it. So it's almost like you could say, you know, reading this book is like reading 10 books.
I'm well read in the personal development sector, but it's not even just personal development, because I think a lot of that what I share have some spiritual traits. Yeah, personal development and spiritual development are all intertwined, but we just don't necessarily realize it. But a lot of the principles I share just come from my own observations, my own life experience, and me just reflecting on it and coming to a realization, this is why this has happened. So even though I am world read, I don't necessarily believe that all of the principles I've shared come from other authors or other personal development coaches or gurus, but more about my own life experiences, more the realizations that I've come to, and then just being able to put it in a format that shares some of the philosophies that are also out there.
And it's sort of quite interesting sort of how you sort of phrase that, because one of the eight principles you mentioned is values. Now, obviously, you've given me a load of sort of books to read. I've sort of delved down the rabbit hole and sort of read or listened to sort of numerous other audiobooks. But values isn't really something which comes up very often. So it's quite interesting how yours actually puts quite heavy emphasis on it. So do you want to tell us a bit about where that came from?
Oh, yeah. Talking about going down a rabbit hole. All right. So it came about through quite a traumatic time for me. So it's about 6-7 years ago. Just got back from Thailand. And I woke up in the middle of the night having a huge panic attack. I never had experience of a panic attack before that. Never had experience of anxiety. But I remember for the first day back, coming back from Thailand, straight into work. And I could remember my stress levels. That was just my energy was just like a million miles an hour. So that was like for 3 days on the trot. And I remember this night again, my mind was racing. I was doing a million things and went to bed. Then I woke up in the middle of the night and it was like my mind, the only way I could describe it, as though my mind had imploded. It was like this worst feeling of just not, I don't even want to share the thoughts that I was having. Fuck it, I'm going to share it. Yeah, these thoughts. The question that I woke up to, this question. The question was, and it's probably a bit deep for the podcast, but it is what it is. The question is, you know, what is consciousness? What is reality? What is this that I'm experiencing? And it was the answers were so vast that it was too much for my mind to comprehend. And just like, boom, it just blew the circuit. And that was it. I couldn't breathe. I was riddled with fear. I was up for about an hour. I was just this sense of dread and anxiety. Woke up in the morning hoping that, you know, it would have left me, but it stayed with me. It was horrid, absolutely horrid. I remember a few days after, I was coming back from Manchester. I was on the train. I had a meeting, I think, in Stockport or somewhere, a Gemini meeting. And coming back, and I was like, before that time, I could never comprehend as to why anybody would consider taking their own life. But I got it. And the reason why I say it is because even though it's something that I wouldn't have done, but I understood it, just the mental torment that I was experiencing, that these waves of anxiety was just horrid. And that stayed with me for years. And even though I experienced this, the experience did push me to do is started to reconnect with things that I had forgotten or aspects of myself that I had neglected. And the reason why I say that is, and I think this is where midlife crisis comes from, whereby, you know, when you go out and buy the flash car or you go out and buy a set of golf clubs or whatever it may be, because you're trying to reconnect to your younger self. You're living in disalignment to who you are and these aspects of yourself that you're not nurturing. Yeah, your inner child, the fun, the youthful, the playful side of yourself. And that was what I feel the experience was teaching me. And because of that, I bought some fishing stuff, I bought some golf clubs, I even bought bloody DJ decks, trying to reconnect to these pastimes I had as a child. But what through that journey, what I realized is that I was so fixated on the attainment of material wealth. That was all I kind of lived for. And I was with the missus and whatever else, but I stopped nurturing other aspects of myself. Yeah. As we need nourishment mentally or physically through food, we also need nourishment spiritually. And the way we do that is partaking experiences that lift us higher, the things that please us, the things that bring us enjoyment and fun and fulfillment. And I wasn't doing that. I wasn't living in accordance to who I was. And so I then came across the book Delivering Happiness by the CEO of Zappos. And that kind of made me realize what values are. And, you know, we use the term so loosely. I know for one, when I first set up Gemini, I just went to Google, you know, what values do I need to have on my website? Professionalism, honesty, actually just bullshit. Like, they don't mean anything. They don't define you as an entity, as an organization, because you're not living by them. Yeah, you're just doing it for, you know, for the purpose of, you know, your website. And so for me, I wasn't clear on what my values were. So me being not clear on what my values were, meaning that I was kind of lost because I didn't know who I was. In essence, values kind of bring you your identity. When you ask somebody what sort of person is Alistair, they should clearly be able to describe you for your values. But if you don't know what your values are, how do they? Because when you know what your values are, you start living in accordance to them. So I got clear on what my values were. Then I started to think, actually, my business should be a reflection of who I am, but yet I'm not clear on what the values are for my business. So it just made me just establish this clarity around me. And because of that, I was then started to get clear on, actually, am I living in accordance or in alignment to my values? So once I started to get clear on my values were, I started to experience huge shifts, not only in my own mental well-being, but also just, you know, in the success that I was experiencing. You know, in Gemini, I got clear on the values of Gemini. So I knew what direction Gemini was to head towards. I knew if I was ever at a crossroads and was unclear, I would just refer back to the values. And that would then bring about that clarity. Also in my personal life, it helped me make decisions on how I should be living. And so I just felt it was essential that it was incorporated within the book, because there's so many of us who are living in disalignment to our values. And so you're neglecting the most important aspects of yourself. So that probably results in huge levels of unhappiness, huge levels of unfulfillment, huge levels of imbalance, you know, to your overall mental well-being. So, yeah, it was important that I included it within the book.
And was there any sort of other ideas or principles that you sort of toyed with, considered putting into the book, but decided they didn't fit with the overall theming of the book?
There were a few, but I don't want to give too much away, because with any great book or great piece of work, sometimes there's a sequel. But there were other principles that weren't necessarily included, but they will be included in the next thing I write. So, yeah.
So there are plans for a follow-up book?
Not necessarily a follow-up book. So coming away from the Success Rebellion, but actually it is going back to my original concept. So before the Success Rebellion, I actually coined another idea. I actually started work on it, but I moved away from it for whatever reason. So I want to go back to the original concept and complete that, because I think that will be so, so powerful. And actually, the opportunity to touch millions and the people that need it most.
And we had some big news this morning where your book is now in stock in Waterstones, I believe.
Yeah, it's on Waterstones. It's available on Amazon. It should be any day now be available on Audible as well as iBooks. But you know as well as I do, sometimes these platforms can take a bit longer to get things sorted than we would like. It's, you know, universally available, UK, US, Oz, Canada, wherever it is that you need it. Yeah, Amazon can send it. If you are interested in, you want to learn more about the book or just really follow my journey, you can do so at www.ryanjackson.org. I've got a weekly blog where I share a lot of my insights when it comes to business, a lot of topics that may be able to help people starting out in business, entrepreneurism, or just want to achieve success in their chosen field. Yeah, not everybody is an entrepreneur. Not everybody is destined to set up their own business. We all have our own skills and strengths. So, you know, success you might be completely different to me. But the principles that I applied, the blueprint that I applied within the Success Rebellion, will help anybody irrespective of their chosen field. So, yeah, check it out.
Brilliant. Cheers, Ryan. Much appreciated.
Julio.
And that's it for another episode of Break the Mould, the parking podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's show. If you did, tell a friend, tell a colleague, pass the pod. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another special guest. So until then, thank you for listening as we break the mould.